worship of transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 6, entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed. And today's text is number 8. Apam Viryasya Sargasya Parajanyasya Prajapatihe Pungsaha Shishna Upastas Tu Prajati Ananda Nirvritahe Apang Viryasya Sargasya Parjanyasya Prajapatihe Pungsakshishna Upastastu Prajatyananda Nirvritahe Apang Viryasya Sargasya Parjanyasya Prajapatihe Pungsakshishna Upastastu Prajatyananda Nirvritahe Apam Viryasya Sargasya Parjanyasya Prajapatihe Pungsakshishna Upastastu Prajatyananda Nirvritahe. We sent Prajatyananda Nirvritahe. Parjanyasya Prajapate. Om Shakshishna Upastastu. Vaishnavis. Apam Viryasya Sargasya Parjanyasya Prajapatihe Pungsang Shishna Upastastu Prajatyananda Nirvritahe Okay, synonyms. Apam of water. Viryasya of the semen. Sargasya of the generative. Parjanyasya of rains. Prajapatihe of the creator. Pungsaha of the Lord. Shishnaha the genitals. Upastaktu, the place where the genitals are situated. Prajati, due to begetting. Ananda, pleasure. Nirvritahe, cause. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. Please repeat. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family encumbrances. One would cease to generate altogether if there were not, by the grace of the Lord, a coating, a pleasure-giving substance on the surface of the generative organs. This substance gives a pleasure so intense that it counteracts fully the distress of family encumbrances. A person is so captivated by this pleasure-giving substance that he is not satisfied with getting a single child, but increases the number of children with great risk in regard to maintaining them simply for this pleasure-giving substance. This pleasure-giving substance is not false, however, because it originates from the transcendental body of the Lord. In other words, the pleasure-giving substance is a reality, but it has taken on an aspect of pervertedness on account of material contamination. In the material world, sex life is the cause of many distresses on account of material contact. Therefore, the sex life in the material world should not be encouraged beyond the necessity. There is a necessity for generating progeny, even in the material world, but such generation of children must be carried out with full responsibility for spiritual values. The spiritual values of life can be realized in the human form of material existence, and the human being must adopt family planning with reference to the context of spiritual values and not otherwise. The degraded form of family restriction by use of contraceptives and so on is the grossest type of material contamination. Materialists who use these devices want to fully utilize the pleasure potency of the coating on the genitals by artificial means without knowing the spiritual importance. And without knowledge of spiritual values, the less intelligent man tries to utilize only the material sense pleasure of the genitals. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya, Bhutale, Shivati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste, Saraswate Devi. Gauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatarishtarane. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangscha. Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bhutam Tang Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Pada and Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitansha. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate. Kapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripri. Vancha Kalpaturubhyasya. Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, Lord Brahma is continuing to inform Narada Muni of the utter dependence of everyone in this world, including himself. We are dependent on the Lord for everything. But we're not always conscious of that. Not only not always conscious, most of the time we're unconscious of the fact that we are dependent on the Lord for everything. Sometimes, even within our movement, people may gloss over a verse like this because they're wondering, this is too heavy, this is too mundane, it seems, talking about the pleasure coating of the genitals. But no, we need to hear this. This is a part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is being spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Shukadev Goswami was a Naishthiki Brahmachari. Had nothing to do with women. He was walking around naked, which showed clearly that he was not interested in women, even though he walked by naked women He was not interested. There's no way you can hide that fact. Maybe artificially for some time. But you can't hide the fact if you're interested. It will come out in your actions, in your thoughts first. Thinking leads to feeling, leads to willing, and then you will act. But Shukadeva Goswami was not on that platform at all. Not at all interested in any material pleasure. So why would he give a verse like this? Here it is, the king is about to die in 7 days. Why not just jump right to the 10th canto and just talk about Krishna's pastimes? Because we need to hear the Bhagavatam in full, in total. We need to understand our existential situation. Who we are, who is God, what is our relationship with God, and act accordingly. Therefore, these verses are there. In the first canto, third verse, we heard, Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalam, Shukamukad Amrita Dravya Samyatam, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamahyam, Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree of literature, of knowledge. And it becomes sweeter having been spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. And we're supposed to drink this if we're actually intelligent and actually focused on spiritual advancement. We need to drink this enthusiastically. Drinking it means hearing it, thinking about it, acting on what is being told. So today, in this verse, it's being mentioned about the universal form, the Virat Rupa of the Lord, and how everything is generated from different parts of his body. So today's verse is based on the genital of the Supreme Form. Why do the material living entities have genitals? Because it exists in the Supreme Lord. It exists in the Supreme Lord. Those who talk about evolution, they can't explain how every single life form practically has a genital. If it's randomly evolving, why would every single life form, from lizards to practically every single life form, has genitals? The demigods, the human beings, below human beings. And the genital is equipped, as is mentioned here today, with a pleasure coating that makes it worthwhile, it seems, to procreate, to generate offspring. Although Prabhupada said, only as necessary. Recently I was watching a documentary about Hasidic Jews in New York. I grew up in New York and I had a lot of Jewish friends, but I didn't know so much about the Hasidic sects. There are different sects of Hasidic Jews, the Satmars, the Lubavitchers, etc. And they all live in different communities. And so this guy was an outsider, not a Jew even, but he got the idea he wanted to interview them. And there was one particular young man, 25 years old, he's a writer for one of the Jewish newspapers, and he welcomed him and escorted him around the community. And because they were together, then the others were a little open to talk to this guy. Otherwise, they're not so eager to talk. They know that people misrepresent them and misunderstand them, so they're not so eager to speak to outsiders. But because he had the blessings of this newspaper writer, the others were a little bit open. And they explained that they have very large families. On average, 5 to 6 children, but some as many as 12 or 15 children. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. Because they're attached to this. I mean, they practice relationships between husband and wife following very strict rules. Certain times you can't, and in this condition, that condition. Very, very strict rules. But the bottom line is they're still after this pleasure. Real spiritual life begins when we want to give up this so-called pleasure. Because it's based on the material body, which is temporary. And the intelligent spiritualist does not want to engage in activities which are going to stop at some point in time. In other words, they're not eternal. The intelligent spiritualist wants to get pleasure that is going to last and increase. That's on the spiritual platform only. You can't do that on the material platform. On a material platform, this promise is there, that you engage in this activity and you will experience some pleasure. But it has a beginning and an end. Yehi sangsparsaja bhoga dukkha yone evate. Adyantavanta kante nateshu ramate buddha. 5th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains to Arjuna that those who are intelligent actually have some buddhi, some brain substance. Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga. They don't chase after bhoga, this material enjoyment. Just like we have in our community, distinction between bhoga and prasadam. Bhoga is something that's not offered to Krishna. After it's offered to Krishna, if he accepts it, hopefully, then it becomes prasadam, his mercy. Actually, the prophet said one time, everything is Krishna's mercy. It's not that it only becomes his mercy after it's offered. But we should see that it's generated by Krishna, just like today. Apam viryasya sargasya. Apam means water. So that's the first thing. Water is generated by the Lord. We can't generate. We may walk around with this formula in our heads, H2O. Two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen, we get water. But if I'm dying of thirst in the desert, there's nothing I can do. I can't grab some hydrogen out of the air and some oxygen, combine it and make water. You can't. So even though we may think we know what water is made of, the quantities of water that we need individually and collectively, we cannot create. Krishna generated that water on this planet in the form of the oceans. That's the beginning source. Apam viryasya. Viryasya means semen. Sargasya. Parjanyasya. Then there's rain. Why make the distinction between water and rain? Because again, on our planet at least, the water is stocked in the form of salt water. Prophet said, just look at the perfect arrangement. Salt is a preservative. So it keeps the water in a fresh state. But you can't drink it in that state. So Krishna sends Surya, evaporates the water, forms into clouds when it hits the mountains generally, comes down the mountainside in the form of fresh water, streams, rivers, and then you can take it and drink it. Or you can catch the rainwater directly. Perfect arrangement. So we're dependent on Krishna for the stock of water, apam, viryasa, semen. Semen we know is necessary for generating children. A woman cannot generate children on her own. She has to have some either direct or indirect contact of the man. Nowadays, they're proud. In vitro semen, you know, fertilization. But it still starts with a semen taken from a man. You can't do it on your own. And inside that semen, as we know, the living entity is placed. So when the man and the woman come together, that living entity that's in that semen is injected into the womb of the mother. And depending on the species, that's what comes out. When dogs get together, they have little puppies. When cats get together, they have kittens. When human beings get together, they have cats and dogs, if they're not spiritually advanced. That's the whole point about this birth, about not doing it indiscriminately. When you do it indiscriminately, you don't give birth to human children, you give birth to cats and dogs, unfortunately. We have to say it, but it's a fact. And we're suffering from that on a daily basis. All these crazy people that you see walking up and down the street, and all the crazy ones that are not walking up and down the street, they're at home or wearing suits and ties, going, they're still all crazy. Because they don't understand that everything they have is generated by God, and therefore they should serve God. They don't see that. They're not trained like that. And therefore they only see what I want from life for my sense gratification. And if you can help me in that endeavor, great, you're my friend. And if you oppose me in any way, I'm going to fight you. This is the root cause of all of the problems in the world. The individuals fighting against each other, societies fighting against each other. And it's not something new. It's been going on since time immemorial. Kamsa. And even amongst the demons. It's not that the demons all get together and say, you know. No, they fight each other. How did Kamsa become so powerful? He fought the other demons and subdued them. And the ones that he didn't fight, like Jarasandha, he made alliances with. So this is what's going on. Everybody wants their sense gratification, and it's either you help me or get out of my way. And this becomes more prevalent in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, because they've completely lost sight of the fact that sense gratification comes after religiosity. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. First, there has to be religiosity. In the past, even in the West, they had some idea of this. Therefore, there are so many churches and mosques and whatnot. Because people had the idea that they had to worship God to get their necessities. Nowadays, modern men, they laugh at that. Why do you have to worship some God to get your just go in the field and plant the seeds and the wheat will grow and the sun is there and the rain. This is the karma amongst the philosophy. It's even worse than that. This is all big karma. But we know in relation to Govardhan coming up, this Krishna explained more or less karma amongst the philosophy to Nanda Maharaj. You don't have to worship Indra. Just by your work, you work hard, the result will come. So the modern atheistic people are propagating this belief. Just work hard, go to college, get a degree, some technical field, work hard, get a job, work hard, and you'll be happy. You'll have enough money to buy what you want. Not just what you need, what you want. Yes, you need a car, but you'll have enough money that you can buy a car that you really want. You don't have to buy a Toyota, you can buy a Mercedes or a Porsche or something like that. And this is what fuels our society. Everybody's madly thinking that if I just get enough money, buy these goods, get together with some person for sense gratification, and everything will be fine. But it's not. Without recognizing that the Lord is the source of everything that we need, everything that we want, He's generating all of this, then we will never be happy, no matter how much we get. Because the soul cannot be satisfied by any quantity of material sense gratification. It's not possible. And therefore, we have, like the case of Hiranyakashipu, although he conquered the universe, if you read the description in the Bhagavatam, he was still never satisfied in trying to intoxicate. Why would you intoxicate if you're happy? Intoxication means trying to change your consciousness to a hopefully happy state. If you're happy in your normal state, then there's no need to intoxicate. But the whole world is unhappy, so therefore even the leaders, Prabhupada used to say, and not making fun of them, but just pointing out, that even within the priestly community, they have these sanatoriums where they go to detox. Because behind doors, they're drinking. They're not happy. They're selling religion to the public, officially, but behind closed doors, they're not happy. So they're drinking alcohol to the point of becoming addicted. And then they have to go to some detox center. So the Krishna consciousness movement is not meant to be like that. We're meant to, first of all, make our lives perfect by practicing, by following, by understanding these concepts. And then we can present it enthusiastically to the public. And then people will see. That's why it's said, practice is better than precept. When people see that the Hare Krishnas are practicing what they preach and they're happy, then they're interested to hear from us. But if we're morose, we're always hankering after something that we don't have or lamenting after things that we've lost, then how can we approach the public and preach? Then instead of wanting to give them the book, we want what they have. Ah, look at that guy. He's driving such a nice car. I'd like to have a car like that. You know? But the devotees, the real devotees, they're satisfied by Pibata Bhagavatam, Rasamalayam. They're drinking the nectar of this Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole Bhagavatam, beginning from Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Who knows what that means? We recite it every day. O my Lord, Son of Vasudev, O all-pervading Supreme Personality, please accept my obeisances. My Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudev. I'm offering you Namaha obeisances. Because I understand who you are. If you don't understand somebody's position, why do you want to offer obeisances to them? So Krishna is the Supreme, and in this chapter we're hearing about is Virat Rupa. How from this Virat Rupa, everything is being generated, even his semen, his genitals, you're generating rains and water, semen, generatives, everything is coming from him. And ultimately, stressed in today's verse and purport, a coating on the genital that makes it seem okay to accept the encumbrances of family life. And there are encumbrances, any way you approach sex life, there's encumbrances. Prabhupada used to stress, there are two ways you engage in sex, licit and illicit. If you engage in illicit sex, you're going to be punished like anything. Read the fifth canto, 25th chapter. You'll find out what happens to people who engage in illicit sex. And if you engage in licit or legal sex, then you have so many encumbrances. You have to take care of the children, the wife, the home, the this, the that, and deal with so many things. So either way you approach it, it's not a walk in the park. But just because of this coating on the genital, which gives that intense pleasure, they're willing to take it on, even up to the having 12, 15 children like some of these persons do. I can't even imagine. I cannot even begin to imagine. I haven't had any children in this lifetime, and I can't imagine having 12 children. Oh, my God. Or, oh, my Govinda, I should say. OMG. So we have to understand these things. And again, don't gloss over it. Everything in the Bhagavatam is important. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to jump over verses like this and go on to something nectar. No, but everything in the Bhagavatam is important. It is there to wake us up that you're chasing after this phantasmagoria of sexual pleasure. It's not going to make you happy in the long run. Even in this life, materially, you're going to encounter so many problems, so many encumbrances, as Prabhupada used that word twice in the purport. What to speak of in the long run, beyond this lifetime, is not going to make you happy. So either avoid it altogether, follow the Varnashram system. Brahmachari is the beginning. Then most people go into the Grihastha Ashram. And you have to go into it with the right mentality. Not that I'm becoming a Grihastha so I can enjoy. I'm not enjoying being a Brahmacharya or a Brahmacharini, so let me become a Grihastha and enjoy. That's not what Grihastha Ashram is meant for. It's not meant for that. And many devotees find that out the hard way. Like my good friend Narantara likes to say, that the Brahmachari thinks I'm going to get married and the wife will make curd sabji anytime I want it. Make me some curd sabji. But he gets married and the only time he gets curd sabji is when he goes to a feast at the temple. You see, because the wife doesn't become his order supplier. So the wife is not supposed to see the husband as her order supplier and her source of physical pleasure or vice versa. They're supposed to see each other, first of all, as Krishna's property. Everyone belongs to Krishna. Krishna says that himself. All you living entities, you belong to me. So we have to be trained to see each other as, first of all, belonging to Krishna. And what do you do when you're dealing with somebody else's property? The tendency is you treat it even nicer than your own. If I lend one of the brahmacharis my car to go in Sankirtan, he's going to be a lot more careful than when he's driving a car that belongs to him. Because he doesn't want to return it with even one scratch. He knows I'm going to look all around and I'm going to... So that's our natural tendency. When we borrow something from somebody or when we're dealing with somebody else's property, we treat it even nicer than our own. So if we treat each other as a property of Krishna, then immediately things fall into perspective. And the brahmachari, brahmacharini, they get married, they're supposed to assist each other in going forward in spiritual life, not encumber each other by demanding this and demanding that. It's a very, very, it's a science to find the right person to get married to is actually a science. And therefore, in the past, it was done very scientifically. The parents were involved and involved knowledgeable astrologers to find the right match. Because if you're basically brahminically inclined, let's say the man, you're inclined to live simply and to accept whatever Krishna sends, but you marry somebody who's completely different, who wants this, that, and give me this, give me that, and we have to make plans to go here and there, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to find the right partner who's on the same wavelength or who's willing to subdue, just like in the case of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. He was like that. He was a sage, so even after he got married, he remained on that platform, just meditating and whatnot. His wife was a princess, so for her to come down to that level was not easy, but she did it out of love for her husband and respect for her husband's practices. And he saw after some time that she's looking really bad. She came here looking like a princess and now she looks like not so nice. So he made an arrangement. He was conscious. Yes, I'm happy sitting down in the forest and chanting mantras, but my wife isn't going to be happy that way. So he made arrangement. So if you're a brahmachari and you're planning to get married, you have to know in advance how you're going to maintain your wife and family. Don't get married and then try to figure it out. It doesn't work. Lack of money and lack of this being on the same wavelength in terms of material acquisition is what destroys marriages, even in our society. If you're not on the same wavelength and if you don't have some solid place, because Grihastha Ashram is the ashram from which you generate money or generate goods. That's the ashram for doing that. Brahmacharis are not supposed to be so involved in that at all. They just go out and work hard to satisfy the guru. That's brahmachari life. And study, study, study. Grihastha life is where you generate income for actually maintaining all the other ashrams, the brahmacharis, the vanaprasthas, and the sannyasis. So if you go into grihastha life and you have no plan no concrete idea of how you're going to generate income for maintaining yourself and the other ashrams, then you're going to have a problem. So in our society, it's very, very important for those who are planning to be grihasta, which is just about everyone, to take this seriously. Make the plans first. Don't say, I do, and then you have no idea how you're going to do. Plan in advance. Either you may have to go back to school, get a job, if you want to get married. That's the reality. Because it's very funny that in previous ages, again, the grihasthas primarily, they maintain the spiritual community. They maintain the temple. Nowadays, we expect to join a temple, and the temple should maintain us. That wasn't the mentality previously. But Prabhupada said, yes, if you become a full-time devotee in our society, you can be maintained to a minimum standard. So if you're happy with that minimum standard, fine. But if you're not, if you know I'm not going to be happy having to borrow a temple car to go to the supermarket or wherever I need to go, I have to have my own car. Then you have to make a plan to go out and get your own car. You can't expect that the temple is going to buy a car for you. It's not going to happen in most cases, if not in all cases. So again, it's very, very important to study the Bhagavatam thoroughly. Don't skip over these verses that are dealing with pertinent information. It's not something that's not pertinent. It's extremely pertinent to us. Everybody's chasing after this coating on the genital for pleasure, as Prabhupada said, to the point where they're using contraceptives, which is completely, completely sinful. In the end of the purport, Prabhupada is talking about contraceptives. But even if you don't, like obviously these Jewish sects, they don't use it in contraceptives. So they just keep on having children, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That also is not good. That also is not good. Best thing is to get to the point of having a higher taste. Vishayave nivartante nirarhasya dehina. Raso barjam raso pasya param dushvarni bartate. Yes, you can go through the period of restricting yourself artificially from sense gratification. But if you don't get that higher taste, you're going to fall down. You're going to fall down because your meditation is going to be on, I want to be happy, and I still have this idea that happiness means sex life and all the material trappings. We have to consciously cultivate the higher taste of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, all of the 9 processes of devotional service, and then we can easily walk away from the phantasmagoria of material sense gratification. So we'll stop here. Maybe there's time for one question. Yes, Ananda Kirtan Prabhu. Or I can repeat the question. That's not exactly what Prabhupada said. He didn't say a further reflection of that in the spiritual world, because in the spiritual world, there is no sex like we have it here in this material world. Therefore, there's no pregnancy, no children born. Everything is eternal. There's romance, the romantic mood, but there's no sex like we think of it here in this material world. Yeah. Yeah, everything in the material world is a perverted reflection of things that exist in the spiritual world. Well, first of all, there's no low thing in the spiritual world. There's no low thing. It's not like there's a high thing in there. Everything is completely spiritual, blissful in there. Now, technically speaking, you could say the rasa of conjugal love is the highest. But everything there is perfect. That's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that everybody feels happy, no matter what their service is, no matter what their situation is. It's not that only the gopis are happy, but the grass is envious, I want to be a gopier. No, the grass is happy, the cows are happy. Krishna embraces not only the gopis, but he embraces the cows also. So everybody there is happy. So this conception of high and low in the spiritual world is not really so accurate. But just for argument's sake, the highest thing there is the rasa of conjugal relationship. So that conjugal relationship, when it's reflected in the material world, becomes perverted. Because again, we're chasing after bodies, not persons. We don't really want to have a relationship with a person. It's a body-to-body relationship. What passes for conjugal relationship in the material world. It's a body, and the body doesn't last. And the body is just, abominable. So you're starting out in an abominable mentality, chasing after an abominable substance, and therefore it's abominable. But this idea that it's, you know, reflection of the spiritual world, everything in the spiritual world is perfect, happy, eternal. So the idea of topmost and lowest is not really accurate, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we have all heard that too. That's what I'm saying. Relatively speaking, the conjugal rasa is the highest. But it's not that there's something low. It's not that, okay, the top of the tree in the spiritual world is conjugal, and then at the root there's something that's not so good. Everything there is good. You see my point? So when that tree is reflected here, what seems to be the topmost in the spiritual world, the conjugal rasa, becomes the most abominable here. But everything here is abominable and everything there is perfect. That's the point, my point. You can see it as a perverted reflection with a high and low, but everything there is perfect, no matter where on the tree it is. And everything here is abominable, no matter where on the tree it is. It's just that that particular rasa is prominent here because we all want to imitate Krishna and dance with gopis at night and, you know, like that. So we have to understand that it's abominable. Because even on the spiritual path, people fool each other with this. Somebody creates a spiritual society of men and women hanging out and doing all kinds of nonsense and calling it spiritual. So Prabhupada picked on that because he could see that. In the West, we're susceptible to that. Some guy comes over with a big beard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do whatever you want. Eat anything you want. Have any sex anyway. That's okay. That's not the criteria. They say like that. So Prabhupada wanted to point out to us that that is abominable. It's the topmost in the spiritual world, but here it's abominable. But everything here is actually abominable, not just sex life. Everything here is abominable if it's not connected to Krishna. And everything there is perfect, whether it's conjugal or friendship or parental. It's all perfect and happy. Jai. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.